Well, good morning and welcome into Evansville, Indiana, the site of the 2022 Elite Eight as Northwest Missouri State going for an unprecedented three straight national championships in men's basketball. I'm Matt Trent alongside Andy Peterson kicking off our coverage from Evansville, Indiana. We're getting set. Northwest Missouri State will be taking on Bentley coming up today at noon here at the Ford Center in Evansville. We'll be leading you up to our Bearcat Radio Network pregame, which starts at 11:30. But Andy, what a time to be here. Northwest Missouri State back in the Elite Eight again, a chance to go for three in a row. Of course, the COVID year kind of throwing a wrench in things. It could potentially be four in a row at this point. But to what we've seen from Northwest Missouri State, it's been so much fun. And at this point, why not keep it rolling, right?
Yeah, I mean, one year at a time. You know, that's all the coaches will talk about. They love the coach speak of, hey, this is a new team. It's a new situation. It's a new recipe, algorithm. You're playing different teams with different strengths, obviously. Bentley's a good example of that with four graduate players, two seniors in their top seven. But it's just kind of amazing what they've been able to do consistently, continuity-wise. It's crazy. Obviously, to be playing in the last week of the year is a pride thing. And it's an opportunity for the guys to go out and compete and try to do their best and hopefully cut down nets on Saturday.
So one thing that Coach Max talked about a few times throughout this year, and we've kind of been touching on it on a broadcast throughout as well, different team, a different story. We're not trying to focus on what happened in 19 or 21. We're trying to focus on here in 22. And at times there's been some adversity, some tough losses that you don't expect from Northwest or some cold shooting nights. But here they are in the exact same spot. What do you attribute that to? And did you kind of see that through years of coaching, too, of maybe similar players, but every year was just kind of that different story?
No doubt. I mean, you just take, any one player, any one coach in the league, opponents, all that stuff changes. And so it is truly a different year, a different team, different story, because that stuff that happened in 17, 19, and 20 has zero to do with this year. You know, and I think you're probably going to ask me about national committee stuff and selections here in a little bit. And that's what we talk about. You can't go back and say, well, Northwest Missouri State's won the last two tournaments, so we're going to seed them number one. I mean, we're the fifth seed this year because of our resume this year, right? And so it's the same thing in coaching. It's the same thing with this team. You have to do that this year. You have to start at the bottom of the mountain and try to climb the mountain again next year. Just because you won the national title the last 2 years doesn't mean you get to start at base camp three instead of base camp one. You know, everybody's got to start at the beginning and try to go up again. Now, the one thing you have going for you is the experience. You've got Diego, you got Trevor, you got Wes Dreamer, you got Luke, you got these guys that have been through this tournament once or twice before. So you can rely on those experiences, and you're not worried about playing in a 10,000 seat arena, and you understand the hotels right across the street and how to sneak through the skywalks. You don't get wet when it's raining. And, you know, you've got all this other comfort of knowing the situation and what you're in, but you still got to go out and play basketball.
We're here on KXCV KLRNW's Road to the Championship. Northwest in Elite Eight taking on Bentley coming up today at noon. Our program sponsored by 39th Street Liquor in downtown Maryville, as well as Sonic and the Northwest Missouri State Alumni Association. Appreciate them having us out. Andy Peterson, you mentioned the national committee stuff that we'll be touching on a little bit. And we'll hear from Wayne Cavadio, an NCAA Division II sports analyst, coming up late in the show. But talking about that in the committee, in the seating, in Northwest Missouri State is number five. You think about how tough the Central Region is, and of course, the top four teams were all one seeds in their region.
Yeah.
Feels like the Central Region is kind of a little more cutthroat, a little bit different the way that we look at it. Can you kind of walk us through how the Bearcats do end up at number five and taking on a really good Bentley team in the first round?
Yeah, it's what we've talked about. It's all resume. It's all numbers-based. Obviously, the committee, myself and my seven colleagues, we do a lot of that back and forth on, you know, who's in an unbelievable league, who's in a really bad league. And there's just that philosophical difference of, do you value a high winning percentage or do you value strength of schedule? And that's really the two different bases. And it's what we see all the time in Division I athletics. There's, seven SEC teams, six Big 12 teams, and yet the Missouri Valley gets one school in. And, you know, the Horizon League gets one school, whoever wins their conference tournament. There's not a lot of multi-bid leagues outside of your top three or four leagues in the country. Well, we don't have that same structure here because of regionalization, right? So we've got to pick the top eight teams out of our region. And that's where coaches, administrators, fans just lose their minds because they all feel, hey, the top four or five teams out of the MIAA should all could all be playing this weekend because they're the best four teams in the country. Well, yeah, maybe if you had a 64-team tournament and you turned them loose and put us in different regions and all that stuff. And, you know, Division I has that bracket set up where you can't have a conference opponent the first weekend. And so they move them around, you know. And we just don't have the funds to do that, to be, you know, flying Northwest Missouri State to Florida or to fly Fort Hays State up to Northeast, the Northeast states and stuff like that. So it's regional-based. And so then when you get to that region and whoever comes out of that region, like you said, you got four number one seeds with Bentley, with Nova Southeastern, with Indiana PA and Augusta. Their resumes are really strong. They all have a high winning percentage, and now after going through the regional, they all played teams with, you know, very strong records, and so their strength schedule went through the roof as well. Ours did also, and I can honestly say we would probably could have been the four seed over Bentley, but at that point it's a jersey color, you know, and so why upset the apple cart at that point? But the four number one seeds rank them, and you had four number three seeds also. So, you know, I look at it the other way. We were the best three seed coming out of regional. So it is what it is. At this point, you know, you've got to beat everybody. There's eight teams left. It's three games. It doesn't really matter. You know, at this point, you get to the final four of the big tournament. Both of those semifinals are ridiculous games. Our division's the same way with eight teams. So excited to be a part of it. It was a ton of fun for me to be a part of it. I'm a D2 basketball junkie, obviously. Played it, coached it, and still around it a lot. So yeah, it was awesome to get to collaborate with other administrators, other coaches around the country, and try to figure it out. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, you look on the women's side, and Lori Hopkins, the Northwest Missouri State Administrator, is the chair of the National Committee. You're on the National Committee on the men's side. The Bearcats have had a great tradition of basketball.
Yeah.
It says a lot for Northwest Missouri State. Is this one that keeps up a lot? Is there some stress going into it? A lot of late-night phone calls?
Not necessarily. Out of the ordinary, you know. I mean, being the athletic director, there's a lot of stress and late nights, and it has to do with a bunch of other stuff. I wouldn't say this kept me up more than I would have been anyway. Like I said, for me, it's so interesting, and being kind of a math numbers junkie, and you know, I used to create my own regional ranking when I was a part-time assistant for TAP and for MAC as a GA and stuff. I made my own rankings just to try to figure it out, because that was before they released all the numbers. They just gave you the rankings and said, this is what it is. And after so many years, you know, coaches, administrators, and whoever complaining, they started releasing the numbers. So your winning percentage, your strength of schedule, your RPI, your PI, all these, you know, acronyms that nobody knows what they stand for or how they come up with, they started releasing all that data. Well, before they did that was when I was a GA and a part-time assistant. So I used to create my own. And, I mean, I would spend a couple hours every Monday and Tuesday inputting stuff into spreadsheets, and I'd print it off, and I'd take it up to Mac and show it to him, and he'd be like, Andy, aren't you supposed to be doing a scout or something? And, so it all works out. It all came back. But, yeah, I mean, obviously Lori being the chair of the women's committee is huge. Like you said, it's a great representation of Northwest Missouri State. She does an unbelievable job. She's a great representative of Northwest Missouri in general. You know, she's got leadership positions with the MIAA and our conference, and obviously now at the NCAA. She's worth her weight in gold, and can't thank her enough for what she does and for us, but also the MIAA and the Central Region. So hopefully I can kind of somewhat do the same eventually in my role, but Lori's got some experience over me right now. So,
well, you can learn from the best.
That's right. So it works absolutely out. Absolutely.
We are in Evansville here at Tiki on Main as Northwest Missouri State back in the Elite Eight. Andy, it seems like they roll out the red carpet. Everybody here is so friendly. The Northwest Missouri State Alumni Association puts some great events, and it's just an awesome time to connect.
Yeah, I mean, number one, Evansville, thank you. University of Southern Indiana, thank you. That's technically our host, and those guys are going to Division I next year, so we're losing them. But what the Ford Center and the DoubleTree Hotel across the hall, across the street, the Great Lakes Valley Conference, USI, all these folks do an unbelievable. There's a ton of history here in Evansville Division II. You know, for a lot of years, the 80s and 90s, this is where the Elite Eight was for a bunch of years. Then they moved it to Springfield, Massachusetts for, I forget what it was, 9 or 10 years. And that's where the Hall of Fame's at, College Basketball Hall of Fame and all that stuff. And so that was kind of a cool deal. But now to bring it back to Evansville, obviously it's centrally located in the States. You got, you know, the Great Lakes Valley. We're not that far. The South region is not that far. You know, for some teams in the South Central, it's not terrible. It's easy to get to. You know, hotels aren't crazy expensive, all that stuff. So it is a great spot. Obviously, you're in the state of Indiana. There's a lot of basketball fans here. And we saw that 2 years ago, or 3 years ago. We saw that last year. There's a bunch of people that just come out just to watch good basketball. And when you got a venue like this, and in an area like this with the, with all the places, like, you know, bars and restaurants and casinos and all the entertainment stuff around it, it's a great tournament. It's a great spot for it. I can't thank John Mark Hall and his team at Southern Indiana and the Ford Center and Eric and his team for putting this on. And then obviously the NCAA for you know, driving to whatever it is 3 hours down here from Indianapolis to put on a top-notch event for men's basketball at the Division II level. It's exciting, a great spot, and it's, like you said, it's a great opportunity to connect with some people that you don't get to see a lot, and then obviously watch some good basketball on top of it.
And, you know, pushing away a little bit further from some of the COVID-19 protocols and yeah, things coming a little bit more back to normal, hoping for a big crowd at the Ford Center all week for Northwest Missouri State and all these great Division II basketball games we have on tap as we are getting set for Northwest Missouri State. Back in the Elite Eight, this is the road to the championship here on KXCV KRNW. And support for KXCV KRNW comes from 39th Street Liquor in downtown Maryville, offering a variety of beer, wine, and liquor from major brands to some local flavors. 39th Street Liquor is open from 10 to 10 Monday through Wednesday until 11 p.m. Thursday through Saturday and 12 to 8 on Sunday. For more information, 39thStreetLiquor.com. We're in Evansville, Indiana. We'll take a timeout and be back with more here at the Road to the Championship on 90.5 and 88.9.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from 39th Street Liquor in downtown Maryville, offering a variety of beer, wine, and liquor from major brands to some local flavors. 39th Street Liquor is open from 10 to 10 Monday through Wednesday until 11 p.m. Thursday through Saturday and 12 to 8 Sunday. For more information, 39thStreetLiquor.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Sonic, serving guests for more than 60 years. The entire breakfast and dinner menu is available all day, along with more than 1 million drink and slush combinations. Sonic is at 721 South Main in Maryville and has four locations in St. Joseph.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
We're back inside Tiki on Main here in Evansville, Indiana. Northwest Missouri State taking on Bentley today coming up at noon. The Bearcats come into this matchup 31-5 on the season. The Bearcats, four of the last six seasons, reaching that 30-win plateau. Impressive mark there for Coach McCollum and company. Meanwhile, Bentley's the fourth seed there, 25-4 on the year. Andy, as we look at this coming in, how does Coach McCollum prep for teams like this that he's never seen before? Is this more of an open thing of he enjoys this more than seeing Washburn for the fourth time in one season?
I think Coach Mack enjoys the challenge of somebody you don't know. Technology in the last 5, 6, 7 years, we talk about it a lot, it's changed so much. It's so much easier to watch film than it was, you know, 10 years ago. I remember when I was a GA, get after a game, obviously you record it on a VHS tape and you'd cut that sucker as quick as you could, drive to St. Joe or Atchison and meet the Washburn assistant coach at 11 o'clock in a, you know, in a gas station somewhere and exchange VHS tapes. It's not like that anymore, Matt. You just upload it. It goes to Synergy or Huddle or whatever, and they cut it and they clip it the next morning, and you've got it all right there at your fingertips. So the way Mac operates, a new opponent doesn't necessarily scare him at all. I think he enjoys it a little bit more, something new. You know, it's hard when you play Washburn 8 times in 2 years. Obviously, they know you. They know your plays. They know your tendencies. They know your scouting report, all that stuff. When you're playing a team that you haven't played ever, it's a little more, hey, let's roll out X's and O's and Jimmy's and Joe's, right? And so it's fun, it's exciting because you kids can really play to their strengths because you don't have, you know, Tyler Guymon's, Jalen Lewis is going against Trevor and Diego's, and those guys know each other from high school, from AAU, and then from 4, 5, 6 years in college. And you really can take away strengths. And so now you're trying to play, you know, who has the less weak weaknesses almost, sort of a deal. So it is going to truly be, you know, playing to your strengths and trying to figure out what can we take away on, you know, 3 days or 2 days of practice. Obviously, we've known who our opponent has been for since Wednesday, but you're watching film and not being able to see him in person and that sort of thing. So it's a lot of prep, it's a lot of film, but the guys, I think they do enjoy it. They're students of the game. Obviously, you don't play at Northwest Missouri State without being students of the game, and the way Mac and Zach run the program now. So it's a lot of fun. We'll see what they're made of, but I think Bentley's going to be obviously a tough team with some experience under their belt. And so we'll see how the Bearcats can handle it.
Is it harder going from being we're a team that takes it slow and we want to slow you down, or harder being the team that goes fast knowing that you're going to get forced into a half-court set like Northwest will force you?
It's a lot harder, in my opinion. It's a lot harder to be a fast team and play a team that's slow and slows you down. Because that's, you know, we've heard that a lot in the last few years from Augustana and from those type of teams that want to play fast and have, you know, 80 possessions in the game, where Bearcats, we like to slow it down and value every possession, and you've got 60, you know. Everyone means a little bit more, and so it's just a little more mentality. It's a lot harder to do that than it is to play fast, because you're controlling the tempo anyway. So, you know, Bentley's, like I think I said earlier, they're a very experienced team. They've got four grad students, two seniors outside of those guys. They're very experienced. They shoot the ball extremely well. I think they got three guys that shoot 40% plus from the three-point line, three or four guys that average double figures. I mean, they're a good team. The coach has been there a long time and had some success, but I don't think they're going to change a lot. You know, they're one of those teams. They're very similar to us. You know, we're not going to change a lot. We're going to do what we're going to do, and if you can beat us doing that, good on you. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be a good game of styles, and we'll see what happens.
Last year, kind of an unprecedented run of basically beating everybody by an average of 25 points once we arrived here in Evansville. Kind of something you can't expect once again. But again, this is a team. No Ryan Hawkins, but here we are once again back in Evansville. It feels like everybody's finding different ways to kind of pick up that slack, and here we are once again.
Yeah, I think the thing last year was our league showed up last year for us, because we played a regular schedule Tuesday or Thursday, Saturday. There were some makeup games, obviously, last year with COVID that kind of had to get pushed in there. But we were prepared every week to play high-level basketball. Other parts of the country through COVID didn't have that. They were playing Friday, Saturday, back-to-back at the same venue. You know, so instead of us going to Washburn on Friday and then Washburn coming to our place on Saturday, it was we're traveling to Washburn, we're going to play two games at Washburn, just to try to minimize exposure and hotel stay and all that stuff. And a lot of schools, a lot of leagues around the country did that. You had a lot of leagues that didn't play last year. And so I think a lot of the teams weren't really truly pushed and played high-level basketball like they normally would, like they have this year, last year. And so when we got to the tournament, I think that's where our experience and our age and our depth really did show through in the Elite Eight, and that's why we saw the results that we did last year. I don't think it's going to be quite like that this year, just because we got back to normal. Everybody got back to normal schedules for the most part. They got back to playing non-conference games, not just all conference games. And so I think teams are a little more prepared this year than they were last year, ourselves included, obviously. But I think we should see better games, maybe. Unless Trevor decides to be Trevor.
We'll see. Bearcats going for the three-peat. You kind of throw in Trevor Hudgens, Diego Bernard, and West Dream, what they can do.
Yeah.
Filled up in a hurry.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It is truly about matchups also. You know, I think our matchup against West Texas was not good for West Texas last year. Our matchup with West Liberty was not a good matchup for them. So you have that, too. You know, and it's the same. This, like, Emporia State was a bad matchup for us this year. With their length and athleticism, it was a bad matchup. That's why you saw two games where they won. Two games were close. I think Washburn, obviously, is a tough matchup for us with their guard play and their bigs. But then there's other schools that you just don't match up well. And you don't really know that until you get into the game and you start playing. And those one-on-one matchups, but also the style matchups, when it doesn't gel and somebody runs away with it, it's usually in our favor because of the way Coach Matt coaches and because of the kids he's got in the team. And we're kind of positionless, if you will, offensively. Trevor, Diego, Wes, Luke, I mean, all those guys can dribble, pass, shoot. And then you got guys like Isaiah and Byron who don't necessarily shoot it at a high level, but they do everything else at a high level, passing, finishing, defense, rebounding, all that stuff. So it is all about matchups. I just think in the Elite Eight, you're probably going to get better matchups than most the other time.
And the Bearcats getting things started off here in Evansville. Bentley coming up at noon right here on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. Andy Peterson, always great to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, buddy. We'll see you later.
This is the Road to the Championship on KXCV KRNW, brought to you by Sonic, serving guests for more than 60 years. The entire breakfast and dinner menu is available all day, along with more than 1 million drink and slush combinations. Sonic at 721 South Main in Maryville and 4 locations in St. Joseph. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dwayne Havard, the Director of Alumni Relations at Northwest Missouri State. That's next on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Sonic, serving guests for more than 60 years. The entire breakfast and dinner menu is available all day, along with more than 1 million drink and slush combinations. Sonic is at 721 South Main in Maryville and has 4 locations in St. Joseph.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from 39th Street Liquor in downtown Maryville, offering a variety of beer, wine, and liquor from major brands to some local flavors. 39th Street Liquor is open from 10 to 10 Monday through Wednesday until 11 p.m. Thursday through Saturday and 12 to 8 Sunday. For more information, 39thstreetliquor.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
We are back at Tiki on Main here in Evansville, Indiana. Northwest Missouri State back in the Elite Eight. The Bearcats taking on Bentley coming up today at noon. Right now we're talking with Dwayne Havard, the Director of Alumni Relations at Northwest Missouri State. Dwayne, it's your first year back with Northwest Missouri State, and obviously we've had some fun here, a roll through the basketball playoffs. The Bearcats, again, one of the final eight teams standing. What's this like from your perspective of kind of taking it all in once again as a Bearcat?
Well, I'm loving it back home. I mean, grew up here in the Midwest and stuff like that, and it's great to be back in on the university campus and stuff like that. So I'm loving this, but this is even more fun for me, just an opportunity. I told a story earlier to some friends over here. I said, you know, a couple years ago, Northwest played Mercyhurst in one of the championship games and stuff like that, and my wife at the time and I were both living in Erie, Pennsylvania, where Mercyhurst was, so we were considering sneaking on the bus and saying, hey, can we ride back to see the game? We wouldn't bring out their green and white too, so it wouldn't have been too bad until they saw the Northwest on our shirts. So we didn't know if we'd get home or not, though, was a problem. So because Northwest did win that game, so probably wouldn't have been real good for some of our friends there in town. But being back here, this is wonderful. I mean, I'm having a ball with the opportunity to bring the alumni back together, getting coordinating with these events and stuff like that. And, of course, winning makes everything even more fun too. So we're having a ball with this. This is a lot of fun today. So,
and Evansville is always great hosts. It's so great to see so many different Bearcat faces, folks coming out. For you getting back in, obviously part of your job is you want to see people, meet people, but also kind of the chance to reconnect with some faces you probably haven't seen in a while.
Well, it's been fun because my wife and I both were involved heavily in the music department and both lived on campus and stuff like that for years and stuff. And it's entertaining to go to some alumni events and events like this that, hey, oh yeah, this is somebody that I went to college with or the same years, and or figuring out who was in the broadcasting department with me when I was graduating too, and it's like, oh yeah, I do remember you, or no, you were here there my freshman and sophomore years, or so on and so forth. So the reconnection has been a ball for me, just the opportunity to see people, and it's not just on campus, it's here off campus at all these events. Some people will say, you know, this is maybe the only event really they come because they may not be living in Maryville or any place close to some of these events, but you get away from campus. You had some people from Sioux Falls that came up to Sioux Falls and stuff like that from northern Iowa that may not come to the campus. Same with out here. You get people that come in from Pennsylvania and things like that we may not meet otherwise.
It's such a great community. It's nice to be living in Maryville once again. I also have recently, the last couple of years, I moved back up there. But I think you're right. These are such big events to be able to reconnect and have these chances to kind of be back with those folks that you did go to school with or had those connections with. As we look at it, Northwest playing Bentley today. Of course, we'd love to see them go ahead and play a couple more games while we're here in Evansville. What's kind of on the itinerary as far as what you guys have planned for alumni if folks are kind of thinking about making a journey?
Well, as long as we're staying in the tournament, we've got a couple, each day that we have a game playing, we're actually going to be here at the Tiki Bar in Maine, staying places they've had it last year. At the back, it's called the Backstage last year. The sign still says Backstage, but it's now the Tiki Bar. The gentleman just took over this past year. So we'll be doing events basically about 3 hours before. They were great enough, great and welcoming to open up a little bit early for us today. And then we'll plan on doing this for the other games. We're also going to organize, we've got an event on Wednesday night and Friday night, too, if we're still in the tournaments, at some other local places, and that's on the alumni website and being passed out at the games and stuff like that, too. So trying to give people some opportunities to get together and have some fun.
And it's been great so far. Of course, had the chance to experience this a little bit last year. It's fun kind of coming in the morning and getting this, not having to wait all day for the basketball game. So a lot of folks out here already. Also the chance to get, you know, some T-shirts, some beads, and really get yourself set for the Elite Eight run here.
Yep. Well, and I said that to my wife this morning. I said, you know, it is, in a way, it's kind of nice to having the noon game, because otherwise I was sitting around in Sioux Falls last week stressing about, okay, got to wait till 5 o'clock to have the pregame, and then the game's not till 7. It's like, oh, God, what are we going to do? It's like, okay, now I get more nervous and stuff like that sitting there.
Yeah.
So I've lost my voice. The nice thing is usually by the start of the tournament, I've been able to recover the voice. MIAA basically deleted everything I had by the end of the thing, and then up in Sioux Falls last week. So I'm in full voice now. We'll see what happens as the games transpire through this year.
Well, thank goodness we had you on here while the voice is still around.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's where it was. Because usually I was doing the,
well, I'm here, I'm ready to go. This is about all I got today.
That'd be a great KXCV DJ down the line for us, too.
Okay, well,
yeah,
if I need to fill in, I was a broadcasting major, music minor, and as Andy and I were talking, we have the face for radio sometimes. So we have a good time with it. That's really what it comes down to. And I enjoy really just chatting with people. I think it's, whether it's on the radio or it's here in person, it's just kind of fun to meet people. I'm such a shy, introverted person, and it's really tough for me to come out of my shell, as you can probably tell already. So, but we joke about that a lot.
Well, thanks for breaking out of that shell for us, Dwayne. Great to talk with you, and thanks for everything you're doing here for Northwest Missouri State.
Appreciate it, Matt. Thank you very much for the time.
That's Dwayne Havard, Director of Alumni Relations for Northwest Missouri State, as we are on the road to the championship. KXEV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe's program here. We will take a timeout. When we come back, John Coffey will be joined by assistant coaches Dre Starzl and Xavier Kurth. That's next right here on 90.5 and 88.9.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from 39th Street Liquor in downtown Maryville, offering a variety of beer, wine, and liquor from major brands to some local flavors. 39th Street Liquor is open from 10 to 10 Monday through Wednesday until 11 p.m. Thursday through Saturday and 12 to 8 Sunday. For more information, 39thstreetliquor.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Sonic, serving guests for more than 60 years. The entire breakfast and dinner menu is available all day, along with more than 1 million drink and slush combinations. Sonic is at 721 South Main in Maryville and has 4 locations in St. Joseph. Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni. We're back, and we're talking to a couple of assistant coaches with the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat men's basketball team, and Xavier Kurth and Dre Starzl. And guys, we talked to you a little bit earlier this year during, I think, one of the games during the Christmas break time, but a little bit of difference as far as what's on the line coming into this weekend's action here.
Yeah, I mean, earlier in the season, it was a regular season game. Obviously, those mean a lot, but now it's the big deal for us. You know, we're at the Elite Eight for consecutive years now, so we're excited to be here and ready to win it.
And Xavier, again, you along with Dre both had an opportunity to come to Elite Eights as a player and now as a coach. When you look back at your time, I think the 17 year was a big one for you. I just talked a little bit about your experiences during the Elite Eight.
I know my personal experience was very stressful because Mac was on the edge the entire time. So I know how it is for the guys now. Everybody's here. We're all focused, players and staff. And I think for us, the big thing is just to remain focused, understand the goal, understand the process we've been through all year, and kind of relying on that and trusting that to kind of push us through.
Yeah, Andre, as far as you're concerned, too, what's the differences you're seeing coming in, first of all, as a player now and an opportunity to be a coach with this program?
There's a lot of differences. As a player, I mean, you enjoy it. I mean, you get here. It's a cool experience. They have everything set up for you. You don't really pay attention to much until you eat breakfast, you eat lunch, you go to workouts, and you take naps. as a coach, it's completely different. You're preparing every day, all day. You're watching film, personnel. You're trying to get a game plan going, and it's definitely a grind as a coach. So I know last year was my first time being part of it as a championship, and I was definitely tired after the week we were here grinding film and stuff.
I imagine, too, a little bit difference between last year and this year, even just from the standpoint of the COVID protocols that everyone had to go through a year ago.
Yeah, so last year we had to get up at like 7 a.m., 8 a.m. every day and test every single day. So we had to work that into our schedule on top of, planning breakfast, walkthroughs, all that stuff. So without doing all the COVID protocol stuff, it actually is pretty more relaxing for us. So it's worked out.
And Xavier, you talked a little bit about Coach Mack and the stress he goes through to get ready for this. Have you seen a difference in Mack year one coming into an Elite Eight as opposed to this particular year, looking for your third straight national championship if all goes well?
Yeah, the only difference I've seen is physically his hair is starting to get away from him. I'm saying this guy, he works so hard, man, and I'm glad to be a part of this coaching staff and being able to learn so much. I don't think I've ever been associated with a coach that works and grinds as hard as he does to critique down to the details, to have the guys ready for, just the little things that can give a team 2 points of advantage. So I know from that, the difference in year one to year whatever this is, it ain't changed. If anything, he's kind of upped his intentionality with it, obviously, because he understands the pressure that it can bring.
Now, also for you guys, too, when you look at Northwest coming in, the only team that was here a year ago coming back after last year, so is from an experience standpoint, while some of these teams have had some success and been here through the years, but from a standpoint of the fact that you guys have been here not only several times, but here in the last couple of years, how much does that help going through everything you're doing here in Evansville?
It helps a lot, I think. Our guys like Trevor, Diego, Wes, they're all pretty comfortable with the arena and the feel and the hotel and everything. I kind of go back to like playing at Duke. Cameron Indoor, you're kind of stunned, shocked right when you walk in the building. They played there once, and then we played there again and lost to them by 6, and they're pretty comfortable, it looked like. So hopefully it's like that this year at the Elite Eight. They're just comfortable. They're going to play their game, and they'll be all right.
Let's just talk about you guys' duties in game time. Obviously, from the aspect of the game, I imagine pretty much it's similar to a regular season game. But what are some of the duties that you're going to have and going through right now as this interview airs that you're doing on game day?
Yeah, so leading up to game day, obviously, as Jay said earlier, we're going through the scouts, the personnel, helping Mac with game plans, stuff like that. Last night we had a meeting with the guys just kind of talk through exactly what the players do for Bentley, what their offense is and kind of what they're looking for. Game days for us, a lot doesn't change, to be completely honest with you. We're so superstitious when it comes to game days that the same thing we did day one is the same thing we're going to do tomorrow. It's just done with a little bit more detail, a little bit more intentionality, a little bit more tempo to it. But honestly, nothing really changes.
Now, we know as far as Coach Mack goes, he has a special look. He has game in, game out with the white shirt, the black pants, the green tie, that he really pretty much the same thing, game in, game out for you guys. And Zach, what are some of the strategies you go into what you're going to wear from game to game?
So we have the black quarter zip and the green quarter zip now this year. So we'll have a little text group message with the assistant coaches, and we'll either say we're wearing black or we're wearing green today. I know we lost whenever we wore green against Washburn, so they wanted to wear green up at the regional, and I said, no, we need to wear black because that's where we won. So we wore black both times and then green for the regional championship. So
does Mac have any input into that?
No, it is not. Nope. But funny thing is, I'll tell you a funny story about Mac's outfit. Every year before the season starts, he'll text me and say, hey, can you run to Kansas City real quick to Men's Warehouse? He's like, you got to pick me out a shirt, tie, pants, belt, and shoes. So I have to get everything new for him every year. Yeah, it's funny. I'll be on FaceTime with them. Like, is this color work for the tie? Does this color work for the tie? But it's kind of cool picking out his tie for the year.
And Xavier, what are some of the things that you look at as far as once the ball's up in the air and the game's underway? What are some of the duties you have there on the bench?
It's going to sound funny, but honestly, just to sit there and let Mac yell at you. It sounds so stupid, but like I said, you know, he's one of the most intense coaches I've ever been around, to the point where, you know, he'll get real invested in the game. And some of the guys, the way we coach, we don't like to just blast them. So a lot of it, the anger that he has, the emotions that he has, it comes out on the coaching staff. We kind of use it as just a nice little way to calm him down. You can yell at me if you need to. But all jokes aside, seriously, we're just kind of there for the players, helping them with the game plan. Obviously, as the game goes along, if they may forget some things, call them to the side, say it during the game, exactly what they need to be doing.
I would, too, imagine, too, it has to be comforting for the players to know that you guys have gone through the exact same thing that they're going through right now.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, it's we're assistant coaches, but for me and Dre, I know that I can speak for us, is that we're more like big brothers to them, to the fact that they feel comfortable talking to us. If they don't understand something Mac's saying in the heat of the moment, where it just feels like it's just coming at you so fast, that if you can just, you know, get me and Dre one-on-one or during a timeout and we kind of say something to you before you leave, maybe it kind of helps ease your mind a little bit.
I imagine, too, that fact that you guys have been together so long, Zach's been a part of the program so long, that from Coach Mack's standpoint, too, there has to be just a comfort in the fact that you guys worked well so well together that he doesn't have to worry about a lot of different things.
Yeah, he trusts us talking to the players one-on-one, like Zave said. If he thinks something needs to happen during the game, he'll say, hey, can someone go talk to him, just to get a different perspective. Like Zave said, if it's coming at him fast from Mac, then we can just calm him down a little bit and calm the nerves.
How much fun is this? It really doesn't get old when you come down here, does it?
No, as soon as you pull in, you see the Ford Center connect the double tree, and it just feels like home.
All right, and Zave, how much fun is this for you?
I hate it here. No, I'm just playing, man. I love it. Every time we come here, it's so exciting, because obviously we're Division II, but, you know, we're playing on the biggest stages in Division II at this point once we get to this part of the season.
All right, guys, it's been great having you with us here on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, that is Xavier Kurth and Dre Starzl on the show here today as we're getting ready for tip-off time here a little bit later as we're in Evansville, Indiana, getting ready for the first matchup in the Elite Eight as Northwest faces Bentley. Back with more right after this.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Sonic, serving guests for more than 60 years. The entire breakfast and dinner menu is available all day, along with more than 1 million drink and slush combinations. Sonic is at 721 South Main in Maryville and has 4 locations in St. Joseph.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from 39th Street Liquor in downtown Maryville, offering a variety of beer, wine, and liquor from major brands to some local flavors. 39th Street Liquor is open from 10 to 10 Monday through Wednesday until 11 p.m. Thursday through Saturday and 12 to 8 Sunday. For more information, 39thStreetLiquor.com.
Back on KXCV KRNW's Road to the Championship, Northwest Missouri State opening up the Elite Eight today against Bentley. Tip-off coming up at noon. Right now, though, we're talking with our NCAA Division II basketball expert. That is Wayne Cavati. Wayne, always great to talk with you. We appreciate you coming on with us now. And obviously, Elite Eight, it's a huge time of year, and this is what it's all about. We've been talking about this since back in November.
Yeah, and it's a place you're quite familiar with.
Fortunately, yes.
So, yeah, we're back once again. You know, we just talked about it last week heading into the tournament, just, you know, some of the teams that we were looking at. And you know, you just can't go against the Bearcats this time of year. And once again, they showed why.
And, again, we've been very fortunate to see just such great basketball from the coaching on down. The players have been fantastic as well. And, again, it was a great Central Region tournament. The Bearcats go up there, get 3 wins at the Sanford, Pentagon, and Sioux Falls. Now I'm going to start you off with kind of a hard one, and maybe it's not a hard one. Maybe you know the exact answer and can spit it out for me right away. but, of course, around here, we put Northwest under a microscope and all the fans and the media, and the Elite Eight seedings come out and the Bearcats are sitting at 5. Kind of expected them to maybe sitting at 2 or 3. What are your thoughts on that, especially coming out of such a tough region? Were you surprised by that at all?
Oh, absolutely. I was surprised. And, you know, on our podcast with Bethany Bowman, we were kind of discussing the seedings. And if you break it down, seeds 1, 2, 3, and 4, Nova Southeastern, Indiana PA, Augusta, and then Bentley, in the defense, they are all number one seeds from their regions, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where I can understand it. It's like you take the 4 number one seeds, you rank them 1 through 4, and then you look at the 4 number three seeds, right? Because the rest were all number three seeds from their regions. And then you break those down to the one and seed those 1 through 4. That being said, you know, that's part of the thing with regionalization. When you look at the RPI and when you look at the performance indicator, that's all based on region. So you don't have an overlying RPI, for example, to compare Northwest with how Bentley is, for example. You know, so it does make it difficult to seed teams that way. But I was definitely a little surprised. I thought they'd be a 3. Especially as you mentioned, you know, beating Augustana to get there, they were a top team in the country. So yeah, I'm a little surprised, but you know, the way I just explained it, when you take the 4 seeds the way that they are and rank them that way, it kind of makes sense and sheds some light on how Northwest Missouri State got there. But I mean, I can tell you right now, I've been covering this sport since 2015, and they're the scariest 5 seed I've ever seen.
I know, right? It's kind of crazy to think about it that way. And the Central region has been so good and in so many national championships since about 2016, when Augie was in there winning their first there with Coach Tom Billiter. This was the only other kind of thing I was thinking about, too. You know, the Bentley Northwest matchup at that point, if you're a 4 seed, you just switch color of jersey, so it's not a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a 2 or a 3, you put them on the other side of the bracket than Nova Southeastern, and all of a sudden, if you're the NCAA, you're thinking, we want to get more eyeballs on this game when it's nationally televised on CBS for a championship. You could potentially have undefeated Nova Southeastern, and then your defending champ Northwest coming through with the best player in the country in Trevor Hudgens. That would be a matchup I feel like would draw more eyes that maybe you'd say, maybe we should switch this up a bit.
I mean, you know, absolutely. And you want to throw another twist into that story. You know, you have the last undefeated team playing a team that's trying to go undefeated, if that's where how it were to play out, you know. And I agree. And it's a shame that if, you know, Northwest wins and Nova wins in the second and make it to the semifinals, in that second game, we're not going to see them go head-to-head in the championship. And I definitely agree with you. You know, it would have been great to see that in the championship game. But again, I wish I was in the selection committee room and I could provide the answer. But, you know, I definitely agree. Like, it's kind of like the Miami Dolphins every year when they get together and celebrate that they're still the last undefeated team. And that would be cool that Northwest Missouri State would get to defend that title. But, it looks like they very well could be heading for a semifinal showdown. So at least we'll get that.
And honestly, it's slightly disrespectful to everybody else to have this conversation now, because who knows what could happen in the rest of the way, whether it's Northwest or Nova Southeast or potentially being upset, and we'll see as we go. But that first meeting for Northwest taking on Bentley, they come in at 25-4, the first ever meeting with them. What can you tell us about this team from the Northeast 10 Conference? They like to score a lot, but any other things we should be watching for as we head into this matchup?
So, on that final night of regional championships, obviously it's hard to watch. There were 6 games that night. It's hard to have eyes on all of them. So you kind of pick and choose your battles. I didn't watch any of the first half of the Bentley St. Thomas Aquinas game. When I turned it on right for the second half to start, and Bentley was down 4 points, 37-33. When I tell you that the first 5 minutes of that half was almost perfectly executed basketball by Bentley, they were up by 11 before I knew it, right? So you're talking about a 14-point swing. And it wasn't just that they liked the score. They were moving the ball, you know, the way you always talk about ball movement, find the open shot, you know, find that extra pass, they were doing it all, and it was almost perfect. And it was really, really impressive to watch. Now, that's something that we know in the past, Northwest Missouri State is very good at disrupting, right? It taking that team out of the rhythm. But the reason this team is so good scoring. They're not so much like an explosive team as they are a team that gets in their rhythm and they kind of try to get you to play their game. And that's something Northwest is very good at, too. And I think that's where it's going to be a fun head-to-head battle. And the really interesting thing about Bentley is that, like you said, they like to score, but they have four of their starting five are averaging more than 15 points per game. So that's tough on defense. And, you know, when you have a Trevor Hudgens and you have a Diego Bernard who are, you know, everyone's good defensively on Northwest Missouri State, but those two are like two of the best defensively in the country when it comes down to it. But so you have those two on two of those 15-point scores. Now the rest of the Bearcats defense really has to step up because you still have two guys that could score at will, right? When you have that kind of depth of people that could actually put up significant points, it makes it tough for defenses. That being said, you know, I don't know that Bentley's faced a team as tough defensively as Northwest Missouri State, and that's not an insult to anyone they've played. You know, again, Northwest Missouri State, when that defense clamps down, they're tough to beat. So it will be interesting to see if they can get in that rhythm and dictate the offense like they like to do, and especially like they did in that second half, man. It was really impressive to watch.
And the other thing, too, you think about that Northwest defense you talk about, it's really been clicking well since round one of the MIAA tournament on, it seems like. So about six straight games, the Bearcats have really been on in that regard. And one thing you got to feel a little bit for Bentley, Ben McCollum's going to have like almost a week to prepare for one team at this point. I mean, he's a guy that watches too much game tape already. You know that he's just kind of sitting there rewinding this one over and over and trying to find a way to slow this team down. When you look at it, too, they've got four losses on the season. Two of them came to Franklin Pierce in the regular season. Franklin Pierce, a guy named Isaiah Moore, who a heck of a ball player there, really went off twice against Bentley. Kind of wonder, too, if that's one of those things. And again, I haven't seen them play and what kind of player Isaiah Moore is. But, boy, the last few rounds of the region tournament and that MIAA tournament, when there's been a need for a couple baskets, you're really seeing Trevor Hudgens kind of become March Trevor Hudgens to where he's almost unstoppable.
I mean, it's just, you know, and I say it so many times, and I hate to be the guy that's a broken record, but March Bearcats is just, especially, you know, this rendition of it, it's unbelievable, right? You talk about the region, and they beat three very good teams. They beat an MSU Moorhead that won the NSIC. They beat Washburn, who had all the momentum in the world behind them, and they held, what, Tyler Guymon to 2 points, right? Mm-hmm. And then they beat Augustana, like I already said, is one of the best teams in the country, and they beat them all by 14 or 15 points. We're not talking about they took them down to the wire, right? These were convincing victories, and it's like you said, it's when I think Trevor had, I can't remember exactly how many points he had, but he had 20-point games in the last two. But I think one of the big factors is, you know, obviously, like you said, having a guy like Trevor Hudgens to say he's having the best season of his career isn't fair to the rest of D2 basketball. It's not, right? I mean, we're talking about a guy who's already annually in the Player of the Year conversation, and now he's having the best year he's ever had. It's just not fair. And, you know, we know Diego's going to be good, and Diego Bernard doesn't need to score points to be the guy they need in that team, right? He does everything else so well. And it's great when you score points. He is a scorer. I'm not saying that. But what was really impressive in those first two games against Moorhead and Washburn was Wes Dreamer pulled off double-doubles in both those games. And that's what you're going to need when, you know, it's called the Elite Eight for a reason. Any team you play here, it's going to be tough. And you can't just rely on Trevor and Diego right now, which you know they're going to bring it, right? You know they're going to bring it. But seeing Wes Dreamer really, I mean, he's a great player, but seeing him right now in this tournament when you need him most go off for two double-doubles and then have a very good game against Augustana, I think that's as important as, you know, Trevor being zoned in and doing what Trevor can do.
No, I think you're 100% right. I was a little nervous going into that game against Augie with Tyler Reimersma on the other side of how does West match up? How do they handle this? Is Reimersma going to go off? And he had a couple tough shots. He had a good game, but didn't do nearly as much as I think he's capable of doing. And a heck of a player there, too, for Augie. So West is coming around, playing well. So we're hoping the Bearcats obviously come away with a round one win a little bit later on today at noon against Bentley. The potential we talked about, Nova Southeastern, if they can beat Black Hills State, will be in the semifinals. We've heard the name a lot. We've heard about Jim Crutchfield a little bit. But what's he done to make this program so good the last 4 or 5 years?
I mean, he came there. So when he came originally back in 2019, and you know that was the first time they didn't play each other, but that was the first time they ever reached a D2 men's Elite Eight, and obviously Northwest Missouri State was there. And he brought his best player with him. Well, it wasn't his best, but he was blossoming into this, what was going to be his best player at West Liberty, and he brought him with him to Nova Southeastern. And his name was David Dennis, and he was fantastic. And what he did coming there was really set the standard for how the team was going to run. And, you know, Coach Crutchfield has this intense press, you know, push it defense and turn it into offense game, and you're going to be running the whole game, and that's what he does. And Northwest has seen that in West Liberty. You know, they play a very similar style of game that they did when Coach Crutchfield was there. But what he did was, like I said, he brought David Dennis with him right now, and then they have this player, Nick Smith. And Nick Smith is currently leading D2 in assists and steals and turnover margin, and he's really he's the fourth leading scorer on the team, but he's really the engine that makes it, he's the motor that makes that engine go. And he was recruited by Coach Crutchfield at West Liberty. When Coach Crutchfield came down to Nova Southeastern, Nick Smith came with him. So what you have is two people, you know, that made their mark on the program that were familiar with how West Liberty did things. So it was a very, I don't want to say it was easy, but it sure looked easy, right? They went from a six-win team to a team that's in the Elite Eight pretty much every year. And he made the transition look very easy because he had some of those pieces that could do it. And then you bring in a guy like Sekou Sylla, who was at St. Rose. St. Rose was a six-win team for all these years, but Sekou Sylla was one of the best players. He was just so under the radar because nobody really had eyes on St. Rose. You put him in this team, he's a ridiculous defender in the paint. He's a 10-rebound guy off the board, like automatic, and he just has, I mean, he has a nose for the basket. He scores. So you have this high-powered offense, and you put one of the best bigs in D2 in the middle of that, and it's just dangerous. And then you have to worry about R.J. Sunahara, who was I believe he was the Sunshine State Defensive Player of the Year. So you have this defense that funnels the offense, and you have one of the best defenders in D2 helping on one end, and then you have one of the best offensive powers on the other end, and it is a lot to handle. But again, you know, a good comparison is West Liberty, and we've seen what Northwest Missouri State can do against West Liberty.
Can Black Hill State beat Nova Southeastern?
It's going to be tough. They got a great, great player in Joel Scott. Again, another double-double waiting to happen. You know, we're down to 25 players left on the Bevo Francis watch list, the Small College Player of the Year. Again, that's not just D2. It's every small NAIA, junior college, D3. So there's about 50%, almost 50% are D2 players, and Black Hill State Joel Scott is one of them. In the regional, in the South Central Regional Championship, he set the school record for scoring. We're talking about a very, very talented player. After that, you have very nice players, right? And so again, I've said it before, it's called the Elite Eight for a reason, right? Every one of these teams is very, very good. But Nova Southeastern has three of the best players in D2 basketball right now, right? And it's a tall order for an 8 seed that just really hasn't seen a team as explosive as Nova Southeastern yet this season to get, you know, to take down. But like you said, the key to this is the time off in between the victory and the time that they play. So all of these teams here have had plenty of time to scout and find some sort of weakness to try to, you know, to make it happen. So do I think Nova Southeastern is going to win? I do. Do I think it's impossible that there's an upset? Absolutely not. That's why they play in March. But, you know, just history, looking at history, there aren't many Cinderella stories once we get to the D2 Elite Eight, right? The D2 men's basketball tournament is not about Cinderellas. It's usually the top seeds do what the top seeds are supposed to do, and I think that's what we're going to see here.
Other side of the bracket, who do you think comes away from those other four remaining? Indiana, Augusta, Chico State, Hillsdale. Is that kind of the two and three seeds, or kind of the, I mean, they're two and three for a reason and primed to make a charge?
The Indiana and Hillsdale game is going to be awesome. At least from what I've watched and on paper and the players that they have, they're both gritty defensively. They both have scorers, and they both have a D2 superstar. Indiana has a guy named Armani Foster, who is a stat sheet stuffer. He's going to get you. He can threaten a quadruple double every night. He's great defensively with steals, and he's a guy that is like a 6 assists, 8 rebounds, 10 points. Pencil it in that you know what you're getting from the guy. He's great. And on Hillsdale side, you got a guy named Patrick Cartier, and he is on that Bevo Francis watch list that I mentioned a little bit ago. You know, the 25 finalists. So we're talking about an elite D2 player. So what we have is two great defenses honing in on each other, some teams that know how to score against good defenses, and two superstars going head-to-head. That being said, it's going to be about experience and depth. And, you know, Indiana, IUP is a team that knows the D2 Elite Eight. I know they haven't been here since 2015, but this is a tournament-tested team. Hillsdale is one of two teams making their first appearance, Black Hills State being the other. You know, is the big stage going to be, you know how it is. I mean, it's an actual true. When you get to that Ford Center, that's a big, big stage. And if it's packed like it usually is in the first round, that's a lot. That's a lot for some teams that have never seen that. So IUP has been in the spotlight before. I kind of think that they have the advantage there. But I think that this is a game that we just have to watch play out. If you're asking me who I think would win, yes, I think Indiana, Pennsylvania has a good enough advantage, a well enough advantage to be called the favored. But it really could go any way. And I think that's the same with the other game. Augusta is very, very good, and they beat some very good teams to get here. But Chico State's a great story, right? Chico State, this is their third time to the Elite Eight. It's kind of tricky because their conference, the California Collegiate Athletic Association, didn't play last year. So they've had two tournaments off. So if you look at it, it's three tournaments in 9 years, but really three of the last seven tournaments, they've been to the Elite Eight. Again, experience. But and not only to add to that experience, they have a lot of students that, because there was no season last year, because 2020 was canceled, they have a lot of guys that had eligibility that stuck around instead of looking for a transfer portal, instead of graduating and saying, you know, this is it. They have these guys that stuck around. So you have two very talented teams, and on one side, you have really guys that are there for a reason in Chico State, and that's to win, and that's why they came here. So I think that makes it a good story. Again, though, you know, these are the elite teams, so the higher seed you kind of got to look to. That being said, I kind of like Chico State because they're very, very tough on defense in this matchup, but Augusta's got a guy also on the Bevo Francis watch list named Tyshawn Crawford, who just dominates the paint, and he's going to be tough for them, for Chico State to establish an inside game with him alone. So I think you got two really good matchups, but of course, you know, I don't want to make a prediction because I think all these teams can win, but of course you got to favor the 2 and 3 in these matchups.
At this point, I'm just rooting for chaos. After we get past game one, just sitting back and relaxing for the next three and just hoping to see some crazy stuff happen. So it should be a fantastic week overall. Wayne, always great to catch up with you. Appreciate everything you do for NCAA Division II athletics. And a happy birthday over the weekend. You don't look a day over 25.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You have not seen my big gray beard, but I do appreciate the comment, and thank you for the birthday wishes.
Oh, no, I've seen it on Twitter up there. I love it. It's great. Keep that thing rolling until we see each other next March.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, thanks, Wayne. Have a great week.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Always great to catch up with Wayne Cavati, our NCAA Division II sports expert. You can find his work on NCAA.com. Always some great write-ups, including a lot on Northwest Missouri State. But that's going to wrap things up for us here on the road to the championship on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. Thanks for tuning in. We're getting set for Bearcat pregame coming up at 11:30, followed by the tip-off between Northwest Missouri State and Bentley in the Elite Eight at noon. Thanks to everyone involved with today's broadcast. Thanks to the Backstage Bar and Grill for hosting us, as well as the Northwest Missouri State alumni. For Andy Peterson and John Coffey, I'm Matt Tritton saying so long.